Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the We Are Wrestling podcast. I am your gracious host, Viper Freeze, aka Viral Viper, with my co-host,
the Renegade Enigma, as always. I almost fucked that up. I'm tired, y'all.
Okay, well, I'm going to help him out. It's the Renegade Enigma. So, let's start off the podcast with apologizing for the way last week's podcast started. It started off a little dry, way too dry for some people's liking. So now we're back to normal and we're not going to have a bad time this time on a podcast. And we're just going to get started. So right now, as we're recording this, it is Thursday night. And we just finished watching Crown Jewel. So, Renegade, what do you think about it?
Honestly, I went into it thinking it was going to be total shit. Because, let's face it, y'all, it's usually total shit. But this one was kind of enjoyable, actually. Like, first things first, like, I'm just going to run down the match that I remember off the top of my head. Because it's been a few hours since we watched it. The Cain Velasquez match, I expected way better. I complained to you about that one match the whole time. Whereas the Tyson Fury match, it kind of impressed me because I thought it was going to be the other way around with that. We'll explain in a minute. The Cesaro match against Mansoor was pretty good. The tag team Gauntlet match was good. You know, so they had pretty good matches. The women's match, like, the crowd popped for that. So, yeah.
So basically what you're telling me is that was 90% of the show. And we didn't even get to the bigger things that happened in the show, but that was 90% of the show.
Yeah, it was basically, you know, talking about it without giving details, because we're going to get into that in a minute. So, there it is.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I don't know how I feel about the show. I don't know if it was a show, but like to me it was like, you know, another glorified house show.
Yeah, but that's the way they are, you know?
Yeah, and I don't like that. Like, you're giving these people a show for the first time. You should do something exciting. Make it, like, build it up and make it cool, but whatever. Their build wasn't that great. It could have been better, but, you know, it's it. So let's start off with the Cain Velasquez-Brock Lesnar match. I know
the first match.
It was the first match because Brock either likes to be on first or last.
Yeah.
There's no in between. But here's the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't like the match. I liked the match just because of the unpredictability and also the fact that it leaves the room open for more things.
Okay.
Because, all right, Cain Velasquez lost to Brock Lesnar and a Kimura arm lock. Like, the match was like probably 2 minutes. 2 minutes at best. And Cain was beating Brock's ass. And he just got caught in the arm lock. And that was it. He tapped out. And then Ray came out of nowhere with a chair and beat the shit out of Brock Lesnar and ran Brock off. Which is like, what the fuck? Now, that opens up something for Ray and Brock, or Dominic and Brock, or Cain to just be like, yo, I got caught off guard. I don't know what happened, but I could really whoop your ass. Cain signed for a multi-year thing, so this is, like, I don't feel like this is over. To me, it was really cool because it was so unpredictable, because you walked in there going, yo, I think Brock's going to get his ass whooped, which he was, and then he tapped Cain out, and it's like, whoa, that came out of nowhere. That was weird, but okay.
Yeah.
Like, it literally leaves a lot on the table. It's just all out, like, all of these things are out there, and, like, it could go anywhere with it. So, to me, it wasn't bad. It was fun because it was, like, a brutal ass-kicking match, and then all of a sudden, it was over and snapped. I like those kind of things because I didn't predict that would happen.
I didn't think of that either. Like, I personally expected more out of the match. I totally don't care that Brock won. Like, that's not my issue. It's just how short this match was. damn near felt like a Goldberg match. And we all know how those go. You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah, speaking of Goldberg, we're going to get into something about Goldberg a little later, but
okay.
Like just remember, just, we're going to leave that on the table. But this match was like, it was pretty good, but it just should have been longer. And if you think about the Goldberg Brock Lesnar situation, how the first one was so short and it was over, and you're like, oh, well, that's what we built it up for. And then it wound up going to a whole nother match at WrestleMania that was bigger than that. And you're like, oh, shit, they actually put on a great match.
Yeah.
Like, once again, like, that leads into another topic that we'll discuss later. But it's not all about just a quick match. It's all about building something different.
To me, it's like what you said about the show as a whole, but to me, it was just this match. Whereas they built it up. This match, I feel like they actually built it up. And like the way they handled it was like anticlimactic. Like it was just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, but for me, like I don't see it as anticlimactic. I've seen it as like a shock, but also as a shock and a, oh, there could be more. So, like, I'm banking on people having somewhat of my brain. Also, later on, spoilers, people do listen to my rants and take stuff from me. So, just thinking from my brain, it's going to lead in a lot more. And from the way it looks to me, this is going to end at WrestleMania 36 somehow, some way. With Kane, Brock, Ray, Dominic, one of those combinations being added into some kind of mix, even if Brock doesn't have the title, some kind of way is going to be a big match with some combination of that scenario playing out at WrestleMania 36.
I see that.
Like, and that's like all from this match. It just gave me everything I needed to know. Like, there's more to the story. It will be revealed later on, just like stuff that I will reveal later on this podcast.
Yeah. That's why, like, I'm not totally shitting on it. I just didn't like the particular match, but if you're right, which more than likely you are, you know what I mean? There's going to be a lot more to come with this. Like, they can't just leave it like that. Like, if they leave like that, then what the hell was the point? But I doubt they're going to leave like that.
Exactly. So the next match was the Tag Team Gauntlet. And I like the Tag Team Gauntlet. It came out, the winners of the Tag Team Gauntlet was not predictable because I didn't see them let Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows win and be the best tag team in the world, which I did not see that. I didn't see that happening at all. And they pinned the War Raiders, who are the Raw Tag Team Champions. They pinned them last. So it's like, like now they deserve a shot.
Yep. Not to mention they're also on Raw too, so
yes.
Can't argue against that.
And also, like early in the match, they had the Revival in, and the Revival got pinned by the New Day, which leads up to tomorrow, the New Day versus the Revival tag match. But that already, like to me, symbolizes, yo, the Revival will win in tomorrow. New Day doesn't have a chance. There's no chance of that.
Yep.
If they switch it up and change it on me, that'll be shocking. But no. And WWE commentators, I don't know if you were paying attention. They started talking about what we were talking about. They started to clue in on it. They started saying, yo, Kofi is angry. He's here. He's trying to let out a little aggression. And it's like, all right. You guys are going with it. You're going with the story now. Like they started to talk about how Kofi is angry and this is gonna lead into something bigger. Like you start to see, like, oh, the announcers are in on it. So yeah, there is a plan for Kofi heel turn soon. So we're on to that.
Hopefully this week. It's kind of like predictable. It's gonna be this week. But I kind of want it sooner than later. You know what I mean? As far as this.
Well, see, since you keep poking the bear, now I'm going to go into my diatribe. Listen, okay. You sent me something earlier this week, and I kind of addressed it. But, like, we're going to address it right here on the podcast. Okay. So, there's been people bitching about the way SmackDown was built, the way SmackDown's been going, and SmackDown sucks, this, that, and the third.
Yeah, which I totally disagree with, but go ahead.
These people don't know what they want, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
They think, oh, they're not doing anything, they're just fucking around, they're just doing this. Okay, throwing this out there, if any of you have ever listened to Something to Wrestle With, the Bruce Prichard podcast, he talks about the way that he does things and the way he loves to talk about, the way he loves storylines in wrestling. And to me, it's one of the great ways of doing storylines in wrestling. And if you look around the whole encompassing of the whole entire wrestling genre right now, there are people that's actually going with the way he does stuff because it's a thing called slow burn. These people want stuff very fast, very quickly, and it's not the way to do it. If these people were around at WrestleMania 4 and how they did a slow burn at WrestleMania 5, which was the biggest WrestleMania for a long time because it was a slow burn storyline that till this day people still talk about, that's what this stuff is. The stuff that's happening now is very slow burning stuff. Like the Kofi Kingston thing, if they keep teasing it, just keep poking it. Just don't even let him turn yet. Just keep poking it. Just let it just start to go. And then Royal Rumble time, flip the switch. You're like, oh, wait a minute. Wait, I didn't see that coming. They said it was coming. You just didn't look. Sasha Banks and Bayley. If you're not paying attention, you don't see that this is coming. It's coming. Hopefully they get their WrestleMania match, but it's coming. Like, this thing is things that they are setting up, especially because of Bruce Prichard is in charge of SmackDown. Slow burn is the key for SmackDown. So if anybody has a problem with anything that's going on SmackDown, it's going to pay off 9 times out of 10. If you don't believe it because of the way WWE has been doing for years, maybe you should rethink some of the stuff. Or maybe I'm giving them way too much credit. But I do know that some of these storylines will pay off in the long run. Mm-hmm. All of them. But
I agree. Because, like, the Kofi Kingston thing, like, regardless if they do it on Friday or they, you know, like you say, slow burn, regardless, this storyline is something to look forward to. You know what I mean? Yes.
Like, if they slow burn it, like, seriously slow burn it, like, people are going to be like, yo, he has a little heel tendency. He did this. He kicked him a little bit too hard. He pulled the tights. He did this. And you're going to be like, all right, these things are adding up, and they're not going to give it to you right away. They're going to give it to you eventually. And when it happens, it's going to be so much bigger because you waited for it. Like, you anticipated the turn, and that's what is going to happen.
You know what I kind of want, though? Like, at least maybe this Friday, like, not him necessarily go full on heel, but okay, they lose the match, right? And then Kofi just starts bitching, kind of similar to like when Jericho started to go heel in WCW and they started calling the crybaby or whatever because he just started snapping and throwing shit and bullshit. Something similar to that. It don't gotta be that exactly, but something similar to that where he just gets mad at the end of the match and whatnot. He'll calm down later, but, you know, eventually that's going to lead into the full-on heel turn.
Okay, I like that story if they lose. But if they win, I want him to pull a Ricky Starks. And for you who don't know, on NWA Power, Ricky Starks had a match. And he won the match by pulling the tights. And he said, wait a minute, I didn't pull the tights. And he barely pulled the tights because he pulled them and didn't let them go on the two count. So he knew he definitely had the three. And it's like, wait, I didn't pull the tights. He's like, I didn't do anything wrong. And Ricky Starks got on Twitter and said, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know what you people are talking about. But you clearly see him pull the tights. And it's like, that's a heel move, Ricky. You did that. Like, if Kofi wins the tag titles with something like crazy like that, you'll be like, I know you did that, Kofi, but I can't prove that you did. I know you did. And then it starts to go downhill like that. I'm cool with your way or my way, win or loss.
Yeah.
A loss, he goes crazy like you said. A win, he kind of cheats. I'm cool with either way as long as it leads to a good heel turn for Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, a solo heel turn, by the way. Yes. I don't want the whole New Day to go heel.
Yes. And the only bad part about that is Xavier Woods being out, because I would like all three of them to be there at the same time. But now, now it's just him and Big E. Because I have a feeling like the only problem is if they do the heel turn with just him and Big E, they're going to try to get Big E a solo run, and he's going to be champion sooner than Kofi is. And that's not going to be cool.
The build that Vince actually likes. He likes the big, strong guys and whatnot.
Or they could give him the solo run, and that could make Kofi more angry and lead to more heelish Kofi.
That works.
Yeah, both ways work. But, okay.
Or eventually, he'd like, screw this and, like, attack Big E eventually.
Yes, but that's our theory crafting for SmackDown. So back to Crown Jewel.
Yep.
So the women, for the first time ever, had a match in Saudi Arabia, and it was Lacey Evans and Natalya, and it was a good match. And the thing about it was, it gave off this, like, I don't know why, it gave off like this very happy, excited, like, vibe. It gave a vibe off to like the crowd and us and everything. It was like, yo, this is a moment here.
Yeah.
It's just like, if you're watching it, you was like, yo, this is a moment. It gave you a vibe, and it's like, this is a moment in history to see. Like, and I'm happy for Lacey and Natalya. It was a great moment. It was a really good moment.
Like, when they first announced them, you know, on paper, it's like, it's them again. Like, you're kind of tired of the match and whatnot. And, like, you know, Lacey has been, like, it's been said she's green or whatever. She's not that good, blah, 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 right? Both these women wrestled their asses off in this match. Like, out of the series of matches they had, I think this was the best one.
Yeah, it was the best one.
Yeah.
I'm taking out the emotions attached to it. It was the best one physically in the ring. Just taking emotions away from it, it was still the best one physically.
Yeah. Because there was no botches, because, you know, I mean, Lacey does botch here and there and whatever, but no botches. And it was like pure wrestling. Like, I don't know who to compare it to, but, like, yeah, like, it was good.
Yes, it was really good. But, yeah, that was a whole moment. And then we had the Tyson Fury Braun Strowman match, I liked the ending, because the ending made so much sense. And I think I said it like 10 minutes before it happened. I said, yo, if he knocks him out on the ground outside, he has to stay outside and get counted out. There's no way he should come back in the ring. And that's what happened. He got knocked out outside and got counted out. The weird thing, he walked in, like, after the match, Brian got back in the ring and power slammed Tyson Fury and said, it's not over. And no, you were on the floor knocked out. It's over. Like, you lost. Shut up.
To me, like, the Kane Velasquez match and this match should have been reversed. Like, this match is the one that should have went quick, in my opinion.
I'm totally against that, because, like I said before, I think the Kane match is going to lead into something, so I'm okay with it being like a minute and something. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But if it doesn't go nowhere, then, you know, it's kind of a throwaway. That's what I'm saying. Like, if that's the case, they should have reversed it.
Right.
Which, again, I doubt WWE would do that. Like, it's going somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see.
Yeah.
Like you said, we had the Mansoor versus the Cesaro match. And Mansoor is super over in Saudi Arabia. They don't use him as much on regular NXT, which is weird that they only use him in Saudi Arabia.
That's what I feel like. Like, this is the only time he ever wrestles.
Yeah, like, he's good, but I mean, like, like, you should actually let him do other stuff, but like,
Like, I like his in-ring work, but like, he needs to like build his mic skills. Like, he's not that great in the mic.
Yes. Also, they had an impromptu U.S. title match, which they had a battle royal earlier in the day, and Humberto won to face AJ Styles, which anybody who's been watching TV should see that Humberto was going to win. During that battle royal, Luke Harper was super over in Saudi Arabia. I know it probably won't translate to anything in America when they come back, but dude, he was super over. Like it was something like, yo, you have something here. I know you probably never do anything in the States, but you have something. Like, super over, dude. He is super over.
Like, they actually popped for him. Like, he's barely been on TV. I want to say he hasn't been on TV, like, without talking about the whole, like, tag team match with Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns and that whole storyline. I want to say he hasn't been on TV for, like, 6 months or so.
Yeah. But that just tells you how good of a worker he is. It has everybody still talking about him.
Yeah, when they had the Wyatt family, to me, he was the best one.
Yes. Until you learned that Eric Rowan can do a spin kick and do a frog splash.
Basically. And he's getting better at his promos, too. Eric Rowan, yes. That is.
Yes, he is. And AJ Styles beat Humberto, and him and the rest of the OC celebrated in the ring with their trophy and his U.S. title, which now has me thinking, who's the next person to step up for AJ Styles? Like, who's going to be the next person?
I can't think of anybody, because the last person before Humberto was Cedric Alexander. Like, that seemed like it was going to go somewhere, but it went nowhere.
Right. I don't even remember who's exactly on the Raw roster, but they're going to have to find somebody. We'll talk about what's next for AJ in a minute, but let's get to the main event.
Okay.
Bray Wyatt versus Seth Rollins, and Bray is your new Universal Champion. How do you feel about Bray Wyatt being a new Universal Champion?
Yowie, wowie, I'm overjoyed. No, seriously, I'm happy as shit about that.
Okay, now here's the other question. How do you feel about him being the champion, even though that shitty Hell in a Cell match happened?
Oh, I forgot about that. I could delete that off my mind. Like, plenty of people have had shitty matches that had great careers, you know what I mean?
But that's my thing. I didn't like the way that they did it, and now that he's champion, we're just gonna forget that happened. Like, we forget that they fucked up and they just like left it at that and just said nothing and just left it there and just went on about their day and said, hey, we're gonna give him the title at this show. Dude, you basically gave him the title at a throwaway house show. Now I feel like, well, what was the point? Like, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Like, I'm happy he's the champion. It's just this whole feud now leaves a bad taste in my mouth, and I just want to never even bring it up ever again. Like, nothing about it. Just never bring it up again. Never Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt ever again. Nothing of them two together. Nothing them two near each other. Nothing where they're in the same arena together. Nothing. I'm glad they're on two different shows. This just...
Now that you brought it up, right?
Uh-huh.
Serious, right? To, like, separate them and whatnot, right? So, Bray Wyatt's the Universal Champion. That's a Raw title. But Bray Wyatt is a SmackDown superstar, right? Mm-hmm. So, in my mind, right, why not just put Bray back on Raw, right? He's been appearing on SmackDown this week on Miz TV. We'll put him back on Raw as official Raw member and just put Seth Rollins on SmackDown and just separate them and whatever. That kind of diminishes on SmackDown and whatever a little bit. But, you know, I mean, at least you separate them, both guys. You don't got to deal with that shit anymore.
But here's the thing, right? And a lot of people have overlooked this little fact. A couple weeks ago when they had the whole draft thing and they drafted Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross to SmackDown. The caveat of a later draft pick from Raw from a SmackDown person so they could get a new SmackDown person. And to me, it's like right there in their face, yo, we're going to draft back Bray Wyatt because we want the title. Like, that's the title. We want it back. So that's what I see happening. Unless tomorrow we get a funny as Firefly Funhouse / Miz TV segment where Miz is the new number one contender.
In retrospect, like, you know, I mean, yours make a lot more sense though. Like they do deserve a draft pick after the Nikki Cross and the Alexa Bliss thing. So that is a thing.
Right. So yeah, that's how I feel about that whole situation.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot all about the Hulk Hogan team versus the Ric Flair team. I'm just going to say this. Hulk Hogan's team won because you know that was going to happen.
Even while watching, like, I totally forgot that was a match. Like, it's one of those things, like, who cares?
Exactly. Like, it was one of those things, who cares? Not that we don't care about the guys involved. We just don't care about the whole... We just didn't care. That's all. The guys...
Rusev, he was one of the stars in that match. Like, he was good in this match.
He was a Russian Hulk Hogan.
Basically.
That's what it was. He was a Russian Hulk Hogan. Like, not even joking, he was kind of dressed up like Hulk Hogan. So, yeah, Russian Hulk Hogan.
Like, I thought they was going to do, like, the three-punch thing and be like, you, like, but they didn't go for that. But I swear they were.
Oh, he should have did it. He should have. It would have made more sense, and I'd have been like, oh, that's cool. So yeah, that was Crown Jewel. And the biggest thing out of Crown Jewel that, like, if you weren't paying attention in the first 20 minutes, it was a throwaway. They ran a commercial of all the upcoming events for, like, the next couple of months. And they did a Survivor Series commercial right in the first couple of minutes. They added Survivor Series in there. And they sit, and as they were doing it, it was something about the commercial that stood out to me. And like, soon as I said it, I turned to Renegade and said, dude, that said what that just said, right? And he was like, no, I don't think so. I was like, dude, it did. And he was like, wait a minute, it did say that thing. It said exactly what you just said. Like, I was like, yeah, like you have a good eye. I was like, no, it said that. Because they said Raw versus SmackDown. They were doing a Michael Cole thing where he said Raw versus SmackDown. But as they're doing it, you hear in the background, they chanting NXT. And, like, it was just like a kind of a combination, but you didn't really see it. And you're like, wait, did I see it and hear what I thought? And then later on, they showed the exact Survivor Series commercial where they officially said it's Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT. Which has...
It's one of those things where, like, I wasn't paying attention the first time around. So it's one of those things, if you weren't paying attention, you wouldn't catch it.
But that, like, that has everybody hyped even more than anything that happened on this show. That has everybody hyped. Like, the possibilities are endless. Like, they're so endless. Like, now, like, from what we think and we know, it's going to be Bray Wyatt versus Brock Lesnar versus Adam Cole. I'm sorry, Adam. I'm sorry. Like, you're at a total disadvantage in this.
But, to his credit, Roderick Strong, his teammate from the Undisputed Era, just defended his North American title in the same situation. Two guys that were, like, much bigger than him last week, and he came out victorious, so... It's a possibility that he could win. Like, don't count him short. You know what I mean?
But at the same time, that brings me back to my thing with what's next for AJ Styles. We know it's going to be the U.S. champion, AJ Styles, versus the Intercontinental champion, Shinsuke Nakamura, versus the North American champion, Roderick Strong, which all three of them are amazing wrestlers.
That's going to be an amazing match. Like, I'm excited for that.
Like, fuck! That's going to be an amazing match. And then we have the women's title match, which, if you don't pay attention in what I'm about to say, if you don't pay attention, you're like, it's going to kind of throw you off and blow your mind and like lead to something. We have Becky Lynch and Bayley versus Shayna Baszler.
Oh,
it's the start of the four horsewomen versus four horsewomen. It starts here. Like, it's starting. Like, the thing that a lot of people want is definitely going to happen.
I see it.
Like, this is so great. I just have a huge problem with the Survivor Series show.
Okay.
And this is going to be a little spoiler for NXT. We just got an announcement for NXT War Games. Then it's going to be the first ever all-women's War Games match.
Yeah.
We possibly have a male War Games match, too. Problem. NXT War Games is the day before Survivor Series. What the fuck are they going to do?
It's going to be crazy.
Because everybody's going to work. Like, they're going to work their asses off the night before and then have to wrestle everybody the next night. What the fuck? Like this is going to be crazy.
I mean, it's not out the ordinary because they do house shows and whatever, and they wrestle their ass off, like, asses off in house shows and whatever, you know what I mean? So, that's the way I equate it, you know?
But it's TakeOver. They never, ever go easy on TakeOver. They're going to go harder than ever.
And hold on. I'm not saying that. They're definitely going to go hard. And they're going to go hard in Survivor Series, too. But
yeah, but they're going to be in the double cage. And the women, I know the women are going to be out there to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a big thing. So, I don't know how, like, everybody's going to be healthy for the next day, but hell, they're going to all go at it.
They're not regardless. They're going to be fucked up regardless.
Yes. And it's funny because earlier in the day, somebody asked Triple H on a conference call about the NXT call-ups, and he was like, yo, there's no more call-ups. Like, it's not even a thing. I don't see it like that. And I was like, well, why you don't see it like that? But when that announcement came, of course you don't see it like that, because everything's even now. Everything's on the same level playing field. We're all the same.
Yep.
So yeah, that's what's going on.
You forgot another, like, theory match, though.
What's theory match?
As of right now, before, like, any matches happen, right? Mm-hmm. It is the Revival versus the Viking Raiders versus the Undisputed Era's Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. That's another one to look forward to as of right now, because that could change throughout the week.
I don't know, because I think it might stay the same because of the tweet that I was telling you about earlier.
Okay.
Last night on the show, which we're giving a little spoilers, which we're about to get in NXT in a second, but Beth Phoenix said that Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish were the best tag team on God's green earth. Scott Dawson to go, hey, wait a minute, lady. Like, that's not true. And then she cleared it up and said, no, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish told me to say that. And he goes, no, we're the best tag team on the planet. Regardless, he said, maybe we might have to come down there and show Undisputed Era who's the best tag team.
Hmm.
Which now, this Survivor Series thing is making me go, that wasn't just a tweet. That was a setup or something.
There's a lead up, yeah.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of things building here that if you're not paying attention, it all is building into something. So while we're talking about NXT, let's talk about last night's NXT.
Okay.
So NXT was really good. It started off hot with Io Shirai and Candice LeRae. Candice got busted open and Io just like wiped her blood off in like a real sick, twisted way. And I was like, oh, that's a thing.
Evil Shirai. I love it. Evil.
Yes, Evil Shirai. And during a match, like, well, after the match, Rhea Ripley came out to get in Io Shirai's face. And then that just led to Bianca Belair showing up. And it was like, oh, okay, well, we're not done with this feud. But they got broken up and, like, they went away. And it was like, all right, well, those people still have a feud going on. Then we had Cameron Grimes versus Tyler Bate. And Cameron Grimes beat Tyler Bate because of a distraction from Big Damo. I mean, Killian Dane. So, I don't know if... What are your theories? Do you think that Killian Dane and Cameron Grimes have something going on? Like, is there something cracking here?
I think something's going on there. Because this is not the first time that Killian Dane has interfered in one of his matches. You know? I forget who the other guy was, but he beat somebody else badly. I want to say it was Matt Riddle, actually.
I think so.
And that's how all that started.
So, yeah, this is, like, I wonder where this is going to go. Because this seems a little different, but I wonder what they're going to do with that. And then we had one of my favorite matches of the night. It was Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai versus the Kabuki Warriors. It was a really good tag team match. Really good tag team match. And the Kabuki Warriors beat Tegan and Dakota Kai. And after the match, Shayna Baszler came out and gotten Tegan Nox's face, which prompted Dakota Kai to come out. I mean, to get back up and stand up for her friend. But also Rhea Ripley came out. And then Io Shirai came out. And then Candice LeRae came out. And then Bianca Belair came out. And then Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke came in there. And it was everybody in there until William Regal said, hey, calm down. All of you are going to War Games. And everybody was like, yay! And then it left a question. It was like, wait a minute. It's six of them on one side and not enough for the other side. How are we going to fix this? Yeah. So, we're going to get those answers.
Basically.
And then we had the tag team match and the main event of the night, which was Keith Lee and Matt Riddle versus the Undisputed Era, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. So, before we start, I have an issue. I still think it should have been Keith Lee and Dominik Dijak for, like, in this match. But they explained on commentary, because I said it on Twitter, and they explained on commentary, hey, the reason Donovan Dijak is not on this is because Donovan Dijak, they can't trust him. And they said they can't trust him. It was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. It actually makes sense to this. So, and the Undisputed Era beat Kyle O'Reilly and, I mean, not Kyle O'Reilly, Keith Lee and Matt Riddle. And that led to, like, a beatdown after that from the whole Undisputed Era until Tommaso Ciampa came out and said he's going to war.
Which leads, like, a theory, right?
Huh?
About the Donovan Dijak. I'm going to call him Dijak, so I'm not calling him WWE day. But, yeah, so, on paper, you would think, okay, so it's the Undisputed Era, all four of them in War Games versus Tommaso Ciampa, Keith Lee, Matt Riddle. And on paper, you would obviously pick Johnny Gargano. Yes. I think Johnny Gargano is going to be preoccupied with Finn Balor, which, by the way, early in the show, he had an awesome, like, promo and whatnot. But, yeah, he's going to be preoccupied with him, so he's not in it. So I think none of this is going to be in that match. That's when they're actually going to trust him.
I'm okay with that. And to speak of that Finn Balor promo, he said a line in there that everybody just skipped over because they didn't think it was something. And to me, I was like, yo, that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. He was talking about how the wrestlers are fans now and, like, basically trying to talk down to the wrestlers and, like, say that he's better. And he says this one line, goes, I don't watch wrestling. Wrestling watches me. And, like, that's just such a throwaway line. Until you backtrack and dig into that line just a little bit harder and you go, well, what does that mean? Wait a minute, he started the Bullet Club. Oh yeah, that's right. Wait, he doesn't watch wrestling? Wrestling watches him? Wait a minute. The whole Elite Bullet Club thing sprung out of him. He started that whole thing. Wait, he started AEW. His whole thing is his idea. It's his fault. Blame that guy. That's what I took from it. Like that.
When he first got there, like, he was one of the main people that caught my eye and whatnot. So you could, like, actually blame him for NXT too.
Yes, he's the problem for everything. He did everything. It's yep. All his fault. Everything is Finn Balor's fault.
It was another line he said in that promo, and I'm paraphrasing because, like I say, y'all, I have bad memory. Something to the effect of, like, he laid down for the new, like, big thing, and all he did was put on a mask. Obviously alluding to Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, right?
Yes.
He said, like, explaining his newfound heel turn or whatever, he took off his mask.
Right.
I liked that whole, like, feel he said.
That, like, he really had a great promo. He had a really great promo.
Yeah.
And speaking of promos, which transitioned us to AEW, Jon Moxley had a promo on AEW because his promo was all about him and Kenny's match at Full Gear. It's going to be uncensored. And Jon Moxley is pissed because it's unsanctioned and uncensored because no matter who wins or loses, it's not on the record books. And that's bullshit. That is fucking bullshit. And he's pissed because he's like, what the fuck? Like, you don't want me to beat your boy Kenny, so that's why you're doing this. And it's like, you know what? That makes fucking sense.
I agree with him because didn't they have not too long ago Jimmy Havoc versus Darby Allin in a sort of non-sanctioned type of match, and he counted it, he became the one contender?
Yes. Yes.
So why can't this match count in the record book?
Because, like he said, is to him, it's starting to be it's going to be a conspiracy, and this is going to be a thing for him. Because he knows that he can beat Kenny, but they're acting like, yo, if you beat Kenny, we're not going to make you count because Kenny's our golden boy and we want to protect him. Which is now, like, creating, like, a weird storyline. I get where they're going. I don't understand why they're going, but I get where they're going.
Yeah.
Because, like, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, we know where the end game of this story goes. Kenny wins the title. And we know. That's where it goes. I don't get it. But I like the promo. The promo was, like, pretty sick because he was off the wall and, like, quote-unquote uncensored. And he was talking shit. And I was like, oh, I got it. I like it. I like the story. But also on AEW, they had the opening match was Sammy Guevara versus Hangman Page. They had a really killer fucking match. That match was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, Sammy is more comfortable in front of the camera, and Paige is starting to get his groove. On BTE, they're starting a thing where Paige is, like, they're starting to, like, point out that Paige is, like, not with the Elite. They're like, hey, buddy, we got dressing rooms, but you can come hang with us. Like, why weren't you here this day? Or why weren't you doing this? It's like, oh, he's going to turn heel on you guys. And I'm all for it. Like, Adam Page needs something to stand out, and he needs something to just not be part of the Elite. He needs to be his own thing, and like, he has all the tools to be something, well, except for the talking thing. He needs to learn how to cut better promos, but everything else, he's really good at. So for him to break away from the Elite stable and the whole group moniker is going to be great. Like, for him, it'll be a whole turnaround on the 360. He'll be great. If Kenny wins the title and he attacks Kenny, or Cody wins the title and he attacks Cody, I'm all for it. I'm all for him just flipping out and just going, yo, fuck you guys. You guys ate while I starve. Fuck you. I'm for that. I'm for Adam Page going all crazy.
Yeah, I would like that. That, like, I'm not shitting on AEW, but, like, they haven't, like, done anything great for me. That, to me, would be great.
Yes. And also on AEW, one of my favorite women, Hikaru Shida, she wrestled last night. And she, like, she was killing it. She beat Shayna? I think it was Shayna. Yeah, she, like, really, like, she did a great job and was really awesome. And everybody was like, yo, she's really good. I'm like, no, she is really good. We had a six-man, I'm going to get to this. We had a six-man match with the Elite, Kenny and the Young Bucks versus Jack Evans and Helico and Kip Sabian. Yeah, that was Kip Sabian. Yo, I'm a little peed off with the little intro that he had in the beginning, because he basically, the little intro he had in the beginning, he basically said that Kota Ibushi is not his friend. He basically said he's not his friend, and he left him, and he did him dirty, and screw New Japan, I'm with my own people. Never, ever say screw New Japan. You screw you, Kenny. Screw you. And you're saying from Undertale costume wasn't all that cool. Ha! Take that.
But New Japan basically what made him a star, so, like, he can't say, like, screw New Japan, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And I just realized that 48 minutes in, I fucked up my rule and said I wasn't going to shit on them, and I shit on AEW. God damn it, I'm sorry.
To your credit, like, it took you a lot longer than what I thought it was, so I didn't agree to that, so.
Yeah, you didn't agree to it, I did.
Mind you, I never shit on them, because they are good, just like I was saying, the Hangman Page heel turn, that would be great. Like, I would love it.
Yes. And
I just don't love their show.
This show's all right. It's all right. Yeah. And Cody and Chris Jericho had a contract signing, which was like a really cool contract signing. And as they're getting into their words of war, Sammy Guevara comes up on the Titantron, and Jake Hager is attacking Dustin Rhodes and slams his hand in the car door. And the first thing pops out of my mind is like, where's Barry Windham? Because for those of you who don't know and have not watched WCW ever or in a long time, in 1991 Halloween Havoc, Barry Windham got his arm crushed in the door by Larry Zbyszko. In a backstage brawl, similar to what happened last night to Dustin Rhodes. And it made me go, yo, where's Barry Windham? Like, that was definitely straight out of a Halloween Havoc. And also, we're in October, which is basically the 18 year since it happened. It's like, that's actually kind of cool.
Somebody's been watching the WWE Network.
Of course they have. They all love wrestling. And we also crowned the very first AEW Tag Team Champions, which was SCU.
SCU?
And the bad part, they were supposed to get presented to them by Ricky and Robert Gibson, but they got beat up by LAX, and LAX threw Robert Gibson through a table off the stage. Dude is like 60. Like, don't do that. It's not cool. It's not cool at all. Bad LAX.
to their credit, they can still go though.
Yeah, no, they can still go. Because I'm not going to spoil the future episodes and stuff, but next week they're going to be on NWA Power, so that's a thing.
Oh, it's next week? Okay. I know what you're talking about.
So now transitioning from AEW to NWA Power, this show, yo, I love this show so much, it is very hard to predict. So, there was a main event match. James Storm, who was the North American champion, and who was on his team?
Wild card. Common, Littlemore, I want to say, and I forget the other guy's name.
The wild card, the tag team champions, against Nick Aldis, Colt Cabana, and Mr. Anderson.
You know I was going to do it.
And the stipulation was, if James Storm won, he got a title shot at the NWA title, but had to drop the North American title. If Nick Aldis' team won, Colt Cabana got his rematch for the title that he never officially lost. And because of the match, you automatically thought, yo, James Storm's going to win, and we're going to have this match because, like, let's be honest, James Storm versus Nick Aldis is going to be a great match, and everybody wants to see it. So you just automatically think, yo, it's going to happen, right? Right? Wrong.
For people that don't know, they actually have history. They actually had a big feud in Impact for TNA.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
And, like, that's why I really want to see this match. And it's like, but they switched it up and Colt Cabana got the win over one of the wild card. And fuck, like, Colt Cabana gets his title match back. It's like, oh shit. Like, I didn't see that coming at all.
I would say right now, I don't see Colt winning, but, like, I didn't see them winning this time. So, yeah.
Yeah. And like earlier in the show, they had a match with the Dawsons versus, what is his name? Eddie Kingston and Homicide. Like, it was a beef match because of last week or the week before they interfered in a match. And it was like a no DQ match. The match was so good. And then all of a sudden, Wildcard came out. And Wildcard beat both of their asses. You're like, okay, cool. Well, wait, which one? Why did you do that? Like, this is a no DQ match. What are you going to do? So they beat both of their asses and put one of the Dawsons over Eddie Kingston. And it's like, dude, why did you help them? Like, the fuck?
That's going to wind up being a three-way dance.
They could have easily avoided it by just letting one person win. It would have been so fun. But
yeah.
Now you just convoluted it and you screwed yourselves. Now when you lose your title, it's all on you, Wildcard. It was your fault. You did that. Bad Wildcard. And Marty Bell fought Alicia Vox. Not Alicia Fox, Vox with a V. It was a pretty good match. Marty Bell won. But at the end of the match, Thunder Rosa came out. So Thunder Rosa is now part of NWA Power. I'm a huge fan of hers.
Yeah. She's good.
So yeah. And the Ricky Starks thing happened. But yeah, like, that is...
Like, going to something you said a few weeks ago, like you said Ricky Starks is a star and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it then, but I see it now, right? He is definitely a star. Like, I see Shawn Michaels in him. And not current Shawn Michaels or whatever. Shawn Michaels, when he betrayed Marty Jannetty and became a dick. Like, in the New Gen era and whatever. Like, I get that vibe off of him. So he's definitely going to be a star.
Yes. Yes. He is a big deal.
But he slapped the shit out of fucking Aaron Stevens and whatnot. And then they had a match later on, which was hilarious.
Yes, it was. But yeah, that was our power rundown. So let's talk about Impact.
Okay.
So, okay. Last week at the pay-per-view, RVD turned heel on Rhino. RVD cut this badass promo when he was sitting in the hot tub with these two chicks, and he start talking shit. And it was like, dude. Like, he started talking shit, and he goes, yo, he's like, I'm the reason wrestling is the way wrestling is today. He's like, I inspired Daniel Bryan. I inspired John Morrison. I inspired the Young Bucks. I inspired Kenny Omega. All of them look up to me. If it wasn't for me, they would be no them. So wrestling today, you should thank me. And it's like, dude, you're right about that. Like, you did inspire all of these people. You inspired your whole style.
He didn't lie.
Like, when he said it, I was like, yo, I think this was supposed to be a heel promo, but that was a face promo to me. Like, wow.
Like, good.
Dude, that was so awesome. And something happened on Impact that you called. This is all your fault. Nobody else but you. This is your fault. So, 6 weeks ago, or further back, matter of fact, it might have been like 3 months ago, there was an angle with Rosemary and, no, it wasn't Rosemary. What is her name? Havoc. Havoc and Soo Young.
Oh, yeah.
Soo Young got killed by Havoc. She killed her off and she was dead. And like, the last thing you see was her heartbeat stop and then everybody walks away and you see one beat and like, the screen goes black and you're like, oh, she's still alive. You clearly, out of your mouth goes, hey, she's undead. What does this mean? She's alive now? And I looked at you and said, that's not a thing. That's not happening. She's just going to be dead. He's like, nah, she could be alive. It makes sense. I said, no. What happened? She's Susie now. She's Susie. She's alive and she's Susie now. I blame you for this. Like, she looks like a normal girl. And it's like, what? Like, what? Like, what the hell? It's all your fault.
Like, it was a segment there that I want to call them the Deaners, right? Mm-hmm. They were fucked up about it. Like, they were really creeped out. One guy said, that was creepy. But I'm like, but she's still hot.
Like, it was just weird. Like, what the hell? Like, I blame you for that.
I'll take a blame. Fuck it. I thought you'd blame me for the other thing. I don't know if we're going to discuss or not.
What other thing?
That steel cage match. The ending to that.
No, you can blame both of us for that. Because last week we talked about it. Tessa Blanchard coming for the Impact World title. And as of Tuesday, Sami Callihan's the new Impact champion. And as soon as it happened, the first thing Tessa Blanchard shows up and says, yo, I want a title shot. He goes, nope, not happening. She's like, no, I'm getting my title shot. So, yeah, it's coming.
Jimmy told me what you suggested, and she had to go through, like, all the members of OVE.
That's definitely happening, and it's going to be pretty awesome, because I see the hype already. Everybody getting hype for it now. They're like, yo, it's coming. It's coming. And I really hope that they hold it off until the first pay-per-view of the year, because now that I remember, it was Impact's first pay-per-view of the year last year. Them doing it this year, I'm telling you, it's a whole year-long build, and it brings back the thing. Slow burn. It's a fucking slow burn.
I'm going to have to make you that t-shirt.
Yes, you're going to have to. Because it's true. Like, these things are slow burns. It's a thing.
But yeah, that's the thing. Tessa Blanchard is going to eventually face Sami Callihan for the Impact Wrestling World Championship.
Yes, that's the thing. I want to talk about the thing that you keep bringing up, and I just want to keep strangling you every time you bring up.
Okay.
I fucking hate Shorty G. Not Chad Gable. I fucking hate Shorty G. I hate the name Shorty G. I hate the shit that he's wearing. I hate the fact that they're making him this little small fucker. Nah, fuck that. I hate that shit. This shit is fucking annoying. It's garbage. They have him dressing like a fucking 10-year-old. Like, he's a fucking amazing wrestler. This is the first person I say, yo, ask for your fucking release and leave. Just get the fuck out of there because this shit is not right. Fuck that shit, man.
The way he's dressing, like, it's like John Cena to the second power.
It's like little kid John Cena.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
Personally, I don't like it either. Like, I'm okay with it because, like, I don't think they're going to ever do anything with him. At the very most, he'll be like an IC or a US champion or whatnot. But, yeah, he's not going to get past that level with this gimmick. You know? I only like it just to fuck with you because, like, it pisses you the fuck off.
It does because, like, what the fuck? Like, why? Why that? You could have named anything else in the world. Shorty G. No! Fuck this, man. Fuck this.
Well, before
this,
it was Shorty Gable, so.
Fuck that. Just call him Gable. Just shorten it to Gable or shorten it to Chad. Whatever. Just fuck that, man. No, fuck that. Fuck that shit. that shit.
I was, like, actually okay with it until they introduced the gear.
Yes, that gear makes him look so garbage. Like, he's a 10-year-old.
The name is just a name to me. You know what I mean? Like, you can give anybody a stupid name. Like, it's their talent that would, like, push through. You know what I mean?
But if you give him a stupid name and a stupid gear, he looks fucking stupid.
Basically.
Like, I can't even take him serious, like, when he's winning a good match. It's like, dude, look at you. You look like a fucking 10-year-old. Like, no. Get better. Do something better. Like, no.
Like the match we were talking about earlier that we really didn't go into because it was a crappy match. The 5-on-5 out of area match with Team Flair and Team Hogan. He was part of Team Hogan. He actually did really good.
Yeah, he did really good, but it's like, the fuck, man? Like, the fuck, yo? I can't stand that. The fuck? Like, it just bothers me, man. Like, the fuck?
That's gonna be a pet peeve movie for a minute.
Yeah, it is. It is. It really is. Fucking Shorty Gable, my ass. God damn it. So, alright. Do you want to get into this controversial subject?
Before that, I want to get into something we talked about on the last show, right? Because that's, like, really controversy and, like, it's a fucked up situation. I want to talk about the game because we got into it a little bit last week.
Talk about it. Let's talk about that crappy game.
That game is probably the most fucked up game in Sotheby's history of making fucking games.
Yes.
And that's saying something. And I'm going to tell you, I'll spend the most money on, like, the top tier one, the deluxe one. Y'all know I'm pissed. The character designs look horrible and whatnot. They look like something on PS2. We're on PS4, so, like, what the fuck? Hell in a PS4, by the way. We're going on to the PS5. That should be good. It's littered with so many fucking glitches. Like, what the fuck? Like, so much wrong with it. Like, I can't even list how much is wrong with this. There's an entrance. I shit you not. There's an entrance. Daily, I want to say 2015, right? She'll come out, right? And she'll have Brock Lesnar's Titantron.
The fuck?
You can't fix that.
No. No,
Io Shirai is in this game. Now, remember when she was a face and whatever, she would come out with the mask, take it off, and like point to it and whatnot.
Yes.
If you give her current gear and whatnot, but don't change her entrance, she won't have the mask on at all. But somehow, the mask will materialize and she'll point to it. Just like Charlotte, where like if you have an entrance with her where she doesn't have her robe, but before she does a backflip, she takes off her robe. It materializes.
What? That's weird.
Yeah. There's been matches where people like go through the ring and whatnot, and the stages and shit. Like, it's crazy. I just read just now when we like doing the process, there's a patch coming tomorrow. I don't know how much it's going to fix, but yeah. $100, hell, even like for the basic game, for $60, that's refund. That's all I'm saying. I'm not getting one because like I'm a YouTuber or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah. So, there's talking out there about New Japan and AEW working together and having a talent exchange.
Okay. There's
talks out there that it's getting closer and closer, and I mean like seriously closer, by the end of the year, early next year, talks, trades, like things working out. So maybe him saying that New Japan sucks last night was not just him being Kenny Omega. It was a little bit of him foreshadowing something. So there might be something going on there.
So it might be storyline. Okay.
And also, I just read something also saying that they still have a couple more signees that they have not yet revealed. I know Mercedes Martinez and Big Swole are two of the people that they did sign.
Okay.
That are under contract, but they said they have a few more. And they said a few more big surprises. Who are these big surprises? I don't know yet. I haven't done any digging. I just got it now. And we're a podcaster. They're not trying to, you know, bullshit you like the WWE podcast that they have out. It's all about bullshit.
That was bullshit.
Just all about bullshit. And think that they always think that they're working the fans. Like Seth Rollins got on there like, I don't know why everybody's mad at me. I'm really good. Dude, it's the way you talk. Well, I'm not really talking. I'm just trying to create controversy. You know, controversy creates cash. You know, that type of thing. Like, they're really good guys. I like them. No, that's not what's going on. He's like, the internet is too, they're fickle. No. You know what you did. You know what you did. Just don't act like it's weird. You know what you did. Shut up. But if they ask me a question about him, I have to say something. You really don't. You could just like say whatever. He's like, he's not in my league. That's it. Say that. Not, oh, they're minor leagues and they could never wrestle like me. All right, shut up. But yeah, that Corey Graves podcast is just like, man, come on.
It's scripted. It's not real. You know what I mean? Like, us, we're just fans and whatnot. We do a little bit of research here and there and whatever, but for the most part, we give you our opinion.
Yes.
Them, it's totally, like, scripted and, like, micromanaged. I was looking for that word. Like, I bet you Vince and whatnot. Yeah, we do whatever the fuck we want. Like, you see the cursing. At first, we try not to curse, but, yeah.
Like, I would have respected them more if they would have just been like, yo, we're really going to go off script. We're really going to be real for real. And we're gonna give you something that you've never seen before. And be like, oh, now I care. This one, like, some of the fake shit that you said is like, yo, I heard that fake shit and I see that it's fake. No. Uh-uh. Not doing it.
Not for me.
Yeah, just not for me.
But yeah. Let's talk about that controversial thing.
The controversial thing, because I have two opinions because I started out with one and I have a difference of opinion now. So okay. But it's just a problem. Okay, here's the thing. So for those of you who don't know, there's a controversial shirt out there that was put out there a couple weeks ago from WWE, Jordan Miles / ACH shirt. And if you see it and you know, you know. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. I saw it. The first thing I did, as soon as I seen it, I looked at it and was like, oh no, this is wrong. I sent it to Renegade and said, dude, look at this shirt. You said, yo, it sucks. It's like, but what's wrong with it? It just sucks. I was like, you don't see it. And he's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I remembered, Renegade is not black. So I had to fill him in on why this shirt was the way it was. I showed it to him and he said, dude, that is the most fucked up thing I've ever seen. They need to take the shirt down. The shirt was up for 3 days. They took it down and it was over. So,
like he pointed out to me, like, no, that can't fly.
Exactly. And so this week, Jordan Miles got on Twitter and said he was upset with the shirt. He said, yo, I don't like the shirt. I'm pissed off. Like, this is racist. And I can't believe WWE even thought of me this way. Like, this is fucked up. I hate this shit. Like, this is fucking crazy. Like, I can't believe you guys actually hate black people. He's like, it was so racist. He said so much shit. And you're like, yo, like, soon as people start realizing, oh my God, that shirt is racist. Like, people start jumping on him. Was like, yeah, we agree. And everybody was behind him. And it was like, yeah, we got it. We agree. Like, I hate it. I hate the fact that WWE actually even attempted to put the shirt out, because me, being an African-American person who watches wrestling, I just want to enjoy wrestling. I don't want racism in my wrestling. Like, please. Once that got out and it was like, yo, WWE is racist. Maybe they fucked up. My thought process, maybe they fucked up. It started coming out that they approved the shirt and it's like, dude, like, it's fucked up. The thing that bothered me the most about this was the fans. Like, it was people that was showing up, and they were showing up, and you were finding out that they did have a little spice of racism. And they're like, yo, oh, y'all just want to be mad about certain things and this, that, and the third, because... No, like... 90% of y'all that are telling us that have never saw the shirt and seen what the imagery meant. It's a racist shirt. Like, when you see it, it's like a smile of Sambo. Like, if you don't know what Sambo is, look it up. It's a racist thing that they used to do in the 60s, 70s. Yeah, that's right. It wasn't that far away. But yeah, it's like, dude, like, that's racist. Like, fucking racist. And they've like, well, I don't see nothing wrong. You black people just want to be mad at something. No, we don't want to be mad at anything. We just want to go about our lives and not be mad at anything. We want to just be normal. But people keep fucking with us. It's like, why? Just leave us alone. Just fucking leave us alone. But anyway.
The whole poking the bear type of thing. Because, like, initially I didn't see it. But then when I saw it, it's like, it brought back, that's the thing, like, blackface, you know what I mean? Old racist cartoons and whatnot, you know what I mean? They have that type of imagery, you know? And no, like, especially at these time of days, like, can't let that shit fly.
Yes.
And I'm Puerto Rican, and I was offended.
Exactly. And then, like, we start to get into the story of it. Jordan Miles starts to tell the story of how it got approved. And WWE jumped out there and was like, yo, he approved his shirt. Fuck that. He can't say anything. And it's like, okay, first off, that was the wrong thing to say from you, WWE. You should have came in a little less hot. But you came in super hot and made it super wrong. no. Like, that was racist. Like, you chill. Like, don't go there. Just don't go. It's all his fault. You should have been like, yo, we'll talk. We'll look into the situation. We're sorry for how this came off. The first thing you go is, no, Jordan Miles approved it. Fuck it. He, whatever happens, it's on him. And he starts to tell the story that it was approved by him on a white background. Okay, the shirt on the white background could have been okay, and it wouldn't look as racist as it does, but the shirt went on a black background, and it looks like a blackface. So he goes, yeah, it was approved. He sends out, he sends the email. It shows that it was approved and why it was approved. And Triple H's thing, oh, it should be more toofy and smiley. And like, wait, Triple H is with this? Like, what? It all boiled down to a he said, she said miscommunication of the shirt getting approved. One side said yes, but lied about the other side saying no, and it got approved. But it didn't get approved like the real way. It was controversy there. It was a he said, she said, and it wound up going a little too far and got out there. Now everybody in the whole situation looks wrong. Like the creator, Triple H, WWE, Jordan Miles, everybody looks wrong because like the situation blew out of hand way too quickly. And it's like, if you guys would have had more conversation of, yo, what happened? This is fucked up. Like, this is fucked up.
Jordan Miles is wrong on the way because within that situation, he started putting people in it that had nothing to do with it. Like, he fucked around and called Jay Lethal Uncle Tom.
Yo, like, that's what I was about to get into. Like, he made this situation bad. Like, he made it worse with all the shit that he was saying. Like, dude, we know it's wrong. We're with you. We're standing with you. You keep saying stuff and making it worse. It's hard for us to stand with you. Yes, they're racist. Yes, they fucked up. Yes, they did the wrong thing. Now it's time to turn it on them and make them apologize. Make them own up to this shit. Yes. You're going out here attacking Ring of Honor, going attacking Jay Lethal, attacking people, and like, dude, relax. Relax. You should be focusing on the original problem. That's it. You're going way left field with it. Just focus on, they fucked up, they did some racist shit, they need to be held accountable for it. Yes. Hold them accountable. 2019, hold them accountable for it. You going on this whole Twitter rant and all of this about fuck this, do that, like these assholes, this and that. Some of it is fun, but when you start stepping out of the line going, yo, Jay Lethal this, this and that, and like, oh, come on, man. Like, come on, you were going so good. Like, why do you have to bring these people into it? Why? Like, why? Like, just leave it alone. And I saw somebody on Twitter go, yo, y'all were riding with him till he started bringing Jay Lethal in it. Wow, how crazy. Yes, we was, because it was literally like about just WWE's racism. Like, why are you bringing in Ring of Honor's racism? Like, what did they have to do with it? Like, yeah, Ring of Honor's racist. Like, yeah, like they treat Jay Lethal like Uncle Tom. Like, yeah, like what? Like, what's the problem with it? Like, that's not the problem we're trying to clean up right now. We don't care about that right now because they haven't physically, emotionally said anything racist. This shirt was physically, emotionally racist. I talk about this problem. Talk about that. Talk about how it got out. Talk about why this is a thing. Don't go attacking somebody else for something and steering a conversation, making it all wavy. Make just directly talk to WWE and their shit. Like, dude, like once you got out of hand, like I can't roll with you on that.
Basically, because like, truth be told, not that it's right, there's always been racism in wrestling. I don't know if you remember, you probably do because we always discuss it once in a while with issues like this, right? Fucking, was it ZZW? ZZW, yeah, right?
Yeah.
They had a whole racist thing in an episode right? And it, when I say racist, it was really racist. That's the last time we saw him on TV.
Yeah. They went too far. Way too far.
Can I discuss it? Or do you not want to go there? Because it was real bad, y'all.
I mean, you could discuss it.
Basically, it was Rockin' Rebel, and I forget his tag team partner, but they were going against Ruckus and whatnot in his squad, and they basically were white supremacists. You know what I mean? And, like, the last line that I forget the whole promo, but the last line I remember, he said something to the effect of, like, white supremacy and all that. And we never saw them again.
Never again. It was bad. Even in WWE, like, the whole Nation of Domination spoof with DX, the blackface.
Yeah. Yeah. It
literally was right there. Crime time. Crime time exists. The Mexicans. Mexicans. You know, just like, there's racism there. Like, we know it's there. It's there. It's there. We just don't want to see it. But the shirt was like, super racist, right there in your face. Take it. Here you go. We're not buying it.
I think there's racist, and then there's racist.
Yes. And like, He pointed out you brought back Hulk Hogan and made him a thing again. I understand that and I totally agree with it. I don't disagree with it. I totally agree with it. But they're only going to take the non-racism so far. Like, there's really racist people just in the company, just sitting there, just walking about every day, smiling in black people's faces, but like they hate them. And wish they would all go away. Yep. That, like, we know that they exist. Like, I don't know. Maybe just not put your racism out there, I guess. I don't know. But this racism was like out on display for like the whole world, and Jordan Miles made it bad. And it was like, you know,
two wrongs don't make a right.
Basically, I agree with what he stands for about the shirt was bad and they're racist and they need to get their shit together. Yes. Perfectly fine. But just, you went off topic and made it weird. That's what I didn't like. Thanks.
Didn't they do something similar with Shinsuke Nakamura? Something like that? Was it like a racist shirt?
Yeah, they took that racist shirt down like super fast.
Yeah. So like, it's not the first time they've done bad shirts or whatever. I remember a while ago they had a Becky Lynch, like, it was like overly sexual, like a last liquor.
Yes, it was.
Like, they fuck up with their shirts. So it's racist, but this could come down to a fuck up at the end of the day, because nobody actually knows exactly what went down.
Exactly. And it went too far, and like, the thing that makes me sad about it is Jordan Miles had like a huge future here. If they like choose to accept him and take everything back and just go, you know what? It's like, we're cool. Like, we're fixing the problem. We're keeping you here. So that's showing everybody we're fixing the problem. That'd be great. If he gets fired, like, it's like, I'm okay with him getting fired and going to another company like New Japan, because he was great there. But I'm okay with it. Like, he stood his ground, but like, he also went too far. But at least you stood up for what you were saying. But still, like, dude, like, you went too far. You just went too far. And I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to name names. There's an older wrestler out there that called ACH out, Jordan Miles out. And I think you are on that side. Like, I think you're Uncle Tom.
Okay.
Like, I'm not gonna say names. We're just gonna go there. He's Uncle Tom. He knows what he's doing, shucking and driving. So he knows what he's doing. And that's coming from me, a black man, so It's not racist. I'm just telling the truth. So sorry.
And he doesn't work for the WWE per se. He's not a booker. I did it. I don't care.
Yes. But yeah. That whole situation left me with a bad taste in my mouth. It left me with a couple of Twitter friends that I did not want to talk to ever again because of some of their white views. That's where I stand with this.
In situations like this, you see people's probably bad term to say right now, bad phrase. You see where their true colors come in.
Yeah. And it's it's messed up because you'd be like, yo, I like you. Like, you're really cool, but what you just said was a little racist. Like, I don't know how to deal with this. Like, I can't. Like, I can't be with somebody who don't like my people. Like, for real. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, this is, it's just weird. But we're going to get off of that, and we're just going to go with a happy moment, a really happy, funny moment in wrestling this week.
Okay.
So, it's a show that, 97% of the people do not watch at all. It is a show called The Bump. It's called WWE The Bump.
Oh, I don't watch it.
Exactly. It's on YouTube. And they had Tegan Knox and what is her name?
Dakota.
On there. And they were talking and they just was saying stuff and they go, yo, I heard you guys are big fans of Kane. Yeah, we are. And they had Kane on the screen. And Tegan Knox lost her shit. She really lost her shit. She was like, oh my God, it's Kane. It was so hilarious, man. That, to see people get happy, that was great.
Beautiful thing. She actually loves wrestling, or whatever. It's amazing how many people are in wrestling who don't love the business.
Yes.
Man. We discussed early in the show, Lacey Von Erich and whatever.
Lacey Evans.
My bad. I'm tired, y'all. Lacey Evans or whatever. She didn't grow up watching wrestling. But now that she's in it, she loves it.
And there was another funny moment from a show that we did not watch because we turned off the thing.
I only watched the Tegan clip because you sent it to me.
Yeah, so it was a WWE thing, a backstage from the 20-year anniversary of SmackDown. And there was a segment, The Rock is about to come out. So Sasha and Bayley are standing there, and they see The Rock, and Sasha hugs The Rock, and she's just, the most excited kid is like, oh my God, I just met The Rock! wrestlers meeting wrestlers are, the funniest thing to me, because you're like, hey, you guys all know each other, right? And then you see them meet famous wrestlers and they're like, oh my God, I just met this person. And you're like, oh wow, that's fun.
Didn't Sasha do the same thing with Goldberg and Up Up Down Down?
She is a fan of all wrestlers, so yeah, she did do that.
And then Xavier Woods did the same thing with Batista.
Yo, when he met Batista after they've been doing that whole Batista theme music thing, when he met him for the first time, it was so freaking hilarious. I love seeing wrestlers interact with other wrestlers that they've never met before.
That they're fans of.
Yes, it's that is so fucking awesome. And before we leave, so NXT does this thing. They do it every year. During Halloween, they have a Halloween wrestling party. they have matches on a night and they all dress up as different people, which is really fucking fun. And they like Rhea Ripley dressed up as Triple H. Like, yes. It like I don't know how to explain some of the shit that I've seen. I know this isn't the panda. Like, there's a panda in DDT called Andrade the Panda. Like, he's like a huge panda, like not stuffed panda, but like an inflatable panda. But yeah, he like somebody had that suit and wrestled in NXT today. Also, there was a Too Cool segment with Mia Yim, Keith Lee, Tegan Knox, and Bronson Reed and Scotty Too Hotty doing the whole Too Cool thing.
What the fuck?
So yeah, like NXT during this day is really fun. Like this is one of the times where you wish you just had NXT house shows on television. So you can see like fun shit like this. You're like, oh wow, this is awesome.
Hopefully it's a thing eventually.
Deonna Purrazzo and Chelsea Green both dressed up like two different kinds of J-Lo. Not J-Lo. J-Lo.
Jennifer Lopez, for those of you that don't know.
Yes. Like, dude, is that stuff is really fun. So, yeah. That's the podcast for this week. So, you got anything to add?
Okay. Don't get WWE 2K20 until it's patched.
Jesus.
Don't be racist. Okay. And just love wrestling.
Okay, I agree with all of those. And I add one more thing.
Okay.
Wrestling can be cool. Yay! That was it.